That was.
What a wonderful little tidbit of a show. Yes.
All right. So for those of you who don't know, we just recorded a little reactions video to the PlayStation news that PlayStation has acquired Firewalk Studios. So if you want to watch that, head on over to Patreon. You're here. You're at Patreon.
You're here.
Go over to youtube.com/@PS Trophy Room, where we discuss a little bit of it. I can't wait to get into the weeds of it, because I feel like we got the basics down. Mm-hmm. Now we get to go into speculation town. You know,
I love that town.
We got some figurative money in our wallet. You know, we got some figurative walking around money.
We got some walking around. Oh, I like that.
That's right. Chink, 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 chink. You know, that's my little coin. So I pay in doubloons.
I personally love the Final Fantasy Gil.
Oh yeah,
I got a lot of Gil in my back pocket.
Real talk, do you want to know what my favorite currency is in just real world money?
Sure.
In India they got the rupee, and I'm like, cool. And I think they played Legend of Zelda: Ocarina of Time. And they're just like, we're gonna take that, and we're gonna put all our money in vases.
Hey, speaking about vases. A thing we haven't talked about, we haven't done in a while, and I apologize, patrons. Welcome to the Road to Greatness. So sit back and relax. And what are you buying? Welcome to the Road to Greatness, our Patreon exclusive show where we deep dive into games we have been playing, and sometimes a game voted on by you, our community. I'm your host, Kyle Stevenson, aka Mr. K-Step. And as always, I'm joined on this never-ending road trip called life with Joseph Moran, aka Mr. Badmit. Today's destination is Resident Evil 4.
What are you buying? What are you selling?
And we're going to talk a little bit more about Burning Shores in terms of gameplay, of what makes it PS5 worthy, because I knew we were running a little bit long in the tooth on that subject. But more Horizon, just in general, Forbidden West has been playing a ton of it.
I also just want to apologize. I think it's been a while since we've done a Road to Greatness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My bad. Our bad.
We got just this.
We'll be back. I was thinking maybe next month a game to be voted on, but I realized there's so many heavy hitters coming.
Yeah.
Maybe we push that for later in the summer when
it's drier out there.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
also
yeah.
next road to we're gonna have like a mini Road to Greatness where Jedi Master Ren and I and Katie talk about Star Wars Jedi. Survivor. So,
can I be there just as part of the council? Can I just
absolutely. You could be our Grogu.
All right, good. I'll just sip tea.
Yes. No. Yes. That said, Kyle, can I go back to the rupee conversation?
Of course.
We need to make stereotypes silly. You know, like I want to make
In what way?
Okay, so I said how like. You know,
like in the India, villagers in Resident Evil 4?
No, like you know how stereotypes are hurtful and mean? I want to create them where they're just silly and whimsical. Like, for example, like how I said how in India they have rupees, that's the truth. I would like it to be, and all Indian people have their rupees and vases that you get to break every time you need money for something, they just break a vase. And I go, when they need to break it, you know?
What a wildly...
It's silly and whimsical. And then, like they're in the field, and they
I'm
need
to
clear
the grass. Words.
And they got their sword out, and they're charging it up. Like that.
Part of me is imagining they go to the store, right?
Yeah.
And they just have vases on their hips.
Exactly.
To hold all their money.
Exactly.
And then when they get to the checkout, they just bash one open and just, here, take my rupees.
That's my best Link yelling.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, Jersey, we all talk with our hands, which is very true.
What would our whimsical stereotype be for America?
Oh, man. That's a challenge.
Yeah.
Because
we're already a pretty big joke. Honestly,
we are just characters from South Park. We're two-dimensional, made of cardboard. You know?
Yeah.
Construction paper. That's what we are.
Canadians, their whole head splits open to talk.
Yep.
It's just.
Hello there, pal. Hello there, pal. Exactly.
Our new Christmas tradition is just Mr. Hanky. Yep. And no more Santa Claus. It's all the Christmas poo.
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
I want to get high.
There you go.
Oh, man.
All right, wait. Let's talk about Resident Evil 4.
Resident Evil 4, baby. Have not finished the remake yet. I'm chapter 8 or 9.
Ooh.
I think. Played the first little intro of the castle last night.
Oh, you got through the gate?
I got through the gate.
Oh, sorry, what? I muted you for a second. You got through the gate?
I got through the gate.
I'm trying to get my DualSense controller. It's behind this monitor.
Man, this game, Capcom knows how to do a remake. You know, like, I was never experienced the original RE2, so I can't talk about how the remake does so many things better than the original, but what I can tell you is just how much better this is from the original RE4.
Yeah.
I think this is so much more spookier. Okay. And way more quote unquote scary than the original one. The original one was like a bad 80s action movie. All Resident Evil really is.
It's all B movie.
It can't be.
Not like hard. The B movie. No. Not Jerry Seinfeld as a B.
Not suing for the use of honey, the human's use of honey. What a weird and wild movie that was.
So wild.
But like the small things of like going into a shack and having a random villager hiding around the corner and you're not expecting it. The tower, you know, coming down out of nowhere made me jump because I wasn't expecting it. That's the thing. This remake, they know that you know the original.
Yeah.
And they are messing with you. They are trolling you at all times. And I'm kind of into it. It feels great. The parry with the knife is awesome. I don't know, Joe. What do you feel about how they did the remake?
Dude, this is a perfect remake. You're 100% right. And the more I think about it, the more I believe Capcom might be the best, you know, third party publisher out there, because they're on a roll. It seems like they're not letting any steam out. They're just pushing full speed ahead. Resident Evil 4 is a game that they know that you know. And I think that's the biggest strength about it. So to me, what I loved so much about Resident Evil 4 was not just how self-aware of its own existence it is, but it's self-aware in the point where they know where to modernize it. It's kind of like when you look at a modern like remake today or reimagining or like soft reboot. Take a look at like, you know, Star Wars Force Awakens or Creed. As indications of like, they understood what makes the DNA of this thing tick, and they're making changes where it's important to change, and they're keeping the things the same when they need to. So, for example, Resident Evil 4's dialogue is campy, it's cheesy, but just enough with it being over the top, but not overly over the top. Resident Evil 4 Remake keeps that same energy, but at the same exact time, it doesn't feel like a B-80s movie. It just feels like a B-action movie that we know and love. So, like, instead of it being, like, I don't know, Rambo, it's more like a John Wick in terms of its dialogue, if that makes sense.
And the added dialogue of certain characters, like, I haven't seen the full arc of Luis, but, like, I love him way more in this remake than I did in the original.
Yeah.
And just the added little scenes of characters that aren't Leon and Ashley, but that we get here and there, I think are great.
And so like the one thing that I love is how they modernized the dialogue. I saw a lot of weirdness before this game came out of like, Leon better still be talking down to women type of stuff. It's like, no, actually Leon doesn't need, like, you look like, I don't know how you think that first and foremost.
Yeah.
Because like Leon is a bit of a, not even a, like in today, he'd be like a Limp Bizkit, you know, listening, you know,
he's a bimbo.
Yeah.
He's a bimbo cop.
Yeah.
So he does his job, but he is like, you know,
Yeah.
It's a little airy in the head.
Exactly. And so, like, here, he is way more caring about the mission, about the people he's with. And at the same exact time, he keeps the dad jokes. Yeah. Like, you know, in the very beginning, he's like, where's everybody going? Bingo night?
And then the title card shows up, like, what?
Fuck yeah. You know,
that's a choice, and I'm okay with it.
When he could just do a subtle dodge, but instead he does a backflip, like, that's
Listen, Leon German Kennedy. Suplexing villagers never gets old. Why would you have to do that?
Exactly. He's Brock Lesnar in these villages.
When
man.
You're
He's
surrounded by a swarm of villagers, a suplex is not the best idea. Huh.
God forbid he went to one of our backyard parties that we throw. Are you guys Spanish? Yes. Boom, Suplex City. You guys speaking
Roundhouse
Espanol?
Kick to the face.
Exactly. My 91-year-old grandma.
Hey. Pop in the kneecap. Run up. Roundhouse kick. Oh, no. Back up.
Not my Uncle Jose. Oh, God. But, like, honestly, like, they still keep that level of cheesiness, but the characters are more human, especially Ashley, who is, you know, for lack of better terms, she's just a college woo girl, right? Mm-hmm. Like her, when you find her phone, it's a Motorola Razr.
It's a Razr, which great.
And it has like her the Greek letters on the back of it, like Sigma Pi. It's like, oh my God.
Yeah, yeah.
But along with jewelry on the side,
along with Ashley. The villains in this remake are way better than the original.
Way
getting
better.
Getting the Lord Salazar stuff,
mm-hmm.
like the visions and how he communicates with everyone infected with the Las Plagas, yeah. I think is adds so much to that character. Where in the original he was just kind of there,
yeah.
From what I remember, and Ramon, the old man kid, finally ran into him last night. I'm so happy to see him because I hate that kid, but like you're supposed to like, and oh my God, I don't know if you, my favorite change.
Tell me
is like how in the original, how is this old man child tapping into Leon's radio?
How are they all doing it?
How are they doing it? But in the remake, he just has these old school telephone speaker mm-hmm. system that he speaks into, and that's how he's talking to Leon. And I love that. Just that small little change, I think, makes so much more sense.
Yeah, because it's kind of like, it's just like at the end of Endgame. It's like, how is everybody on the same frequency?
Yeah, exactly.
Also, like, why is Thanos in the battle? If he's a general, he needs to be standing back and, like, commanding his army. But no, he's in the heat of it.
Yeah.
Now, that said, though, like, Ashley is way more human. Like, she is, at the end of the day, a kid. But she's not a, save me, Leon. Oh, you're so strong. Like, mm-hmm. she's not given, like, the one-liners of, like, hey, Leon. Have you ever screwed an entire bridesmaid party? You know, office.
Oh,
if you got
goodness.
That reference, God bless
oh,
you.
My goodness.
Threat level. It's like, yeah, it's threat level midnight writing here.
Yeah,
she, the relationship between her and Leon is so well done. And like,
I'm just getting to the point where they're opening up a little bit because like. They are very just like, she's just following you and just saying, okay.
Yeah.
And like, and then there's a moment where I don't remember from the original, correct me if I'm wrong, where Lord Salazar kind of takes over.
You mean Sadler, by the way.
What's it? Oh, Sadler. Ramon Salazar, Lord Sadler. That's
yeah.
what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
When he takes over, right? And he turns the knife on Leon. Was that in the original? I don't remember that.
I don't remember that either.
So, like, another little cool little ad or change that I think it was awesome.
Yeah.
And talking about Ashley, I think our least favorite part of the gameplay of the original was taking care of Ashley because she was useless. They have streamlined that so well in this remake where it's not like – you know, finding places for her to hide, which you can. And I was so happy when I found that for one of the fights.
And even she's like, really?
Really? Exactly. So self-aware. But just the, you know, R3, she can either hang back when you're in combat situations, or when you're running, you can tell her to be close and she'll keep up with you the whole way. And when she gets knocked down, you just pick her up. You don't have to worry about giving her your precious herbs to heal her and whatnot. Like, it's fantastic. I did, however... It was the water in the castle, right? Where she's up trying to raise the platforms.
Sure.
She got grabbed by one of the guys. And I had a sniper shot aimed at the dude. And he turned at the last second and I sniped Ashley in the head. And it just said, "You failed." I was like, "Oh no! Why?"
I just imagine Leon taking a shot. He's like, "Ah, shit, I whiffed it."
Well, baby eagle is now gone.
So what the fuck do I say to Joe Biden?
Condor one, I messed up.
Which, like, at the same exact time, it's like, the plot is still silly. You're here to save the president's daughter. They want to brainwash her so she infects the president. They're only sending one man to do this, and they're trying to keep it a secret. Like, it's like, it's still silly and stupid, but you're in. It's because the gameplay is so compelling. If the gameplay is compelling, you can make any silly story work. Yep. But before we get to the gameplay, I do want to shout out Ada Wong's voice actor Lily Gao, who got an incredible amount of hate her way because some people didn't like her portrayal of Ada. I didn't mind it one bit. I actually didn't know it changed.
I've only seen one scene with her, but even in that one scene, great.
Yeah. Mommy? Sorry.
Mommy?
Sorry. Sorry, guys. Wait, mommy? Okay, here's the thing. Again, I don't get attracted to many video game characters, but when I do,
really, their name, every week there's another waifu.
You shut your mouth, Kyle. Let me dream.
What are we talking about, Joe?
I'm a liar, Kyle. It's for effect. But their name's Leon and Aiden. Yeah, I'd like to see it happen.
Yeah,
I need to see this happen. You know, maybe I could watch.
I don't know the answers to this, but the Ada stuff from RE4, like the post game stuff, is that in this?
No, that it's going to be DLC later
on. It is. Yeah. Okay, sweet. Okay.
But I liked her a lot. Again, Ada Wong can step on my chest and crush a windpipe, but she's also, the reason why she can do that isn't because she's just, oh my God, a hottie. She's a hottie with a body. She's also extremely proficient at what she does. Like, she is a badass. There are several points I'm like, dude, Ada freaking rocks. And, like, you know Leon and her love each other. You just know
1,000%.
You know they're gonna make beautiful babies.
Before we go to the gameplay,
sure,
I want to again kind of,
hey Kyle, thanks for pulling me out of that one.
yeah you're welcome.
I was gonna go down another rabbit hole.
I know you were. That's why another way that they mess with us and our memory of the original is just from the level layout.
Yes.
And the locations. Yes. There was a moment I crossed the bridge and I saw a building and I was like, what is this from the original? Like, it's not clicking. And then later, when it happens, I was like, oh, that's the barn where I have the fight with the Spider-Man dude. And I'm like, it is recognizable, but only after the fact.
Yeah.
Like, same thing with the, oh my God. The Chainsaw Sister battle. Where that arena, I remember so fondly from the original. What are we about to do?
Yeah.
And it was only until they showed up, and another really good jump scare that got me, because I was not expecting it, is when it clicked. I don't know, did you have that same feeling of like, this is familiar, but I don't know? And then when certain things happen, you're like, oh, this is where I am, kind of thing.
There are two parts that I don't want to say per se. They're later on. I'll just say the sewers are different. Very different.
Okay.
And it's way better. I feel a lot of the middle stuff is some of it's cut, some of it's reworked, and some of it's changed for pacing, and it makes sense because the main bosses that you fight, you have a kind of rapport with them. You're both talking, you know, trash to each other. You know, and so it lends itself well that there's less boss fights in this game than there are in the original. And because you have that rapport, you're like, yeah, I'm gonna go up to Salazar. I'm gonna wreck this fool. You know, like there's not a lot of pointless bosses that I felt sometimes were in Resident Evil 4, the original. Mm-hmm. So there are definitely parts that they're changed. There's definitely parts where it's like, oh, I recognize that, even early on in the game. You know, how you save the dog is different. And I need to say that you could save the dog because that's the only spoiler that I'll allow. If animals die or are saved in any type of medium, I will tell you that because I'm a dog owner, animal lover, and I'll take the heat. I don't give a shit. When it's for a pup, yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah, I was so upset that that wasn't a thing early on. And then when it finally showed up, I was like, wait, is that a dog I hear? And then I got really excited. And then when he does the thing, I'm like, oh, hell yeah. This is my Avengers moment right here.
That's a good pup. That's a good pup. Yeah. But yeah, so that's what I dug that it's a resemblance at times to the original, but not a one for one.
Yeah.
That said as well, before we get into it, Mama Bad Bit just left. And she's like, dog's outside. I'm going. I'm like, I told you I was recording. So there's going to be a time where I dip out and you're going to just...
That's fine.
You're just going to handle it. I'm going to give him another like
everyone
5 minutes.
Everyone didn't know that because I handled it so well.
I know you did. He handled it so well. But
exactly. Now you've ruined the magic. How dare
everybody tell Kali he did a good job here because he really did.
Nope. Right, I don't want to hear it.
I ruined it. But, yes, that said, let's talk about the combat, Kyle.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah. Let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it. Where do you want to start? Do you want to start with the parry? Because, my God.
Jesus Christ. So good. You want to know why it's good, Kyle?
Why?
They learned from Resident Evil 3 Remake. Resident Evil 3 had like this dodge mechanic, but it needed to be absolutely perfect. And the dodge, let's be real, was quite shite, as the Brits say, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm relating to our audience. And
it works.
It was finicky. And so the reason behind it is it's a horror game. You need it to be perfect or finicky in order to have that risk reward. If you're doing perfect dodges every time, well then, you know, and the window's too big, well, you know, theoretically it's not as scary because it didn't get you. Those times where they do get you, it has to be most of the time, right? Or just enough where it's not a guarantee. Resident Evil 4 knows what it is. It is an action game first, horror game second. And with that, the parry window is way, way more forgiving, which makes the encounters feel like you do have some power to them, which I really, really dug. And so, like, the first thing that... And the beautiful thing is because the parry is so good, they limit it via its durability. So you can't just parry everything because your knife will break and then you got to go back to the merchant and have a hefty repair. So you do want to build that space, but it's always a nice, oh, what if someone gets to me and you're able to do that perfect parry? It's so good.
Yeah, it is fantastic. And I found myself actually relying on just the knife way more than I did in the original when it comes to actual combat, just because of how beefy that knife is.
Yeah.
Like parry alone, like if you level it up, it's going to do a decent amount of damage.
Yeah.
And you're going to need it because you're going to run out of ammo.
Really? Are you running out?
Oh, a lot.
Dude, I think I'm better at this game than I think I'm giving myself credit.
You probably are. I'm running out a whole lot.
Because, like, pistol, I think maybe once I had a situation when it came to health. But I always had, for the most part, a stacked, you know, case of herbs on me. I kept those things on me. Mm. And, like, halfway through, I was like, should I kind of put this to hardcore? Because
oh, okay.
I'm doing better than I thought I was.
All right.
You know? So for me, I'm, you know, I'm not running out of things. I actually have a problem where I have too much. And that's maybe because I'm keeping the weapons limited. So I don't know about you, Kyle, but I kept it to pistol, shotgun, sniper. That's it.
I have dabbled in the submachine gun. Just okay. Because I needed, again,
I did get the submachine gun mid game.
I'm rocking the Punisher.
Okay.
The riot gun shotgun.
Yep. Best shotgun.
The second rifle. I forgot what it's called. The Stingray.
Stingray. Yeah.
I've got the broken butterfly.
Mm-hmm.
I also have Red 9 in storage.
Pull out the Red 9. What are we doing?
I like the Punisher, though.
All right. If you like the Punisher,
and, once I get enough of the spinel or spinal to get the stock, then I'll probably take the Red 9 out.
Fair.
Which another really cool change is you're not just shooting at glowing things in the ceiling to get the spinel or spinal, whatever it is. Those are your rewards for side quests. To then to get these really cool things like you know, treasure maps or stocks for the weapons or gunpowder if you need it, and like really cool expensive things.
Yeah, I saved it for like the stock of the Red 9 and the little tickets that make your guns have special abilities. So one thing that makes this platinum way more achievable is that if you go into Mercenaries, you can unlock the hand cannon, which is a one of the strong pistol, right? The Magnums, and you can then, once you get it, like let's just say you complete one professional rank, you could then go and purchase a ticket, and that ticket will give the gun its special ability, which is unlimited ammo, which makes the professional run way easier and doable for that 5.5 hour run. So the merchant and the side quests are so, they feel so good. It kind of adds to the world and the story around the world. It makes the world much more of a character.
It's also like, for those of us that are familiar with the original, like, hey, you remember all these things from the original that were kind of like common?
Yeah.
They're more special here. And as like a nod, like one of the missions is like, sell me 3 Vipers.
Yep.
Right, and of like breaking open boxes and having those things like attack you, or
sons of bitches.
Go get that really big fish in the lake,
and
sell it to me. Like, find the golden chicken egg and sell it to me, kind of thing. Like,
they're fun.
They're really, really fun, and they're so well done. The blue medallions obviously are everywhere, which are great. Yeah, those side missions are awesome.
Yeah, God, I love this game so much. Makes me want to go back. It makes me want to go back. And the combat, I just want to say one more thing about this combat is it feels like it hasn't changed. But then when you look at the game from 05, you're like, oh, right. The aiming was really wonky. Yeah. It was the blueprint of what's to come. But you see it modernized at the best form right here, right now. Holy shit.
It's great.
It's so good. This game is incredible. That said, Kyle, I do have a thirst trap question that I have to ask you before you do.
Okay.
Because I do still need to go down. Everybody's attractive in this game.
Yeah.
Even Lil Sadler.
Okay. All right.
What can I say? I like the Napoleon complex. Are you Team Ashley or are you Team Ada?
Romantically?
Romantically, yeah.
Probably Team Ada.
Thank God. Okay. Thank you. That's all.
I view Ashley as a kid.
I've always did too. But one of my buddies is like, no. In this game, it's Team Ashley all the way. I'm like, all right. Fair enough.
All right. Well,
hey, listen. He likes the sorority girls. I'm not going to yuck this man's yum.
That is fair. It's good that they added those college stickers, so you do feel way less creepy knowing that.
Hey, can I get real with you for a sec?
Yeah, go.
Can I get real with you? Uh-huh. I'm getting up there in age, right?
Sure.
I'm starting to find that like people that are 25 and under look like kids.
Oh, yeah. Welcome to the club.
I'm like, you're a kid. We have a new hire at work, and I think she like just turned 20, and I literally saw her. I walked to my boss. And I'm like, why is there a child in this? Why is there a child here? She's like, that's a new hire. I'm like, she looks 11.
That's wild.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I'm old.
I want to ask you this question, Joe.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you noticed it, but in the castle section, mm-hmm. instead of breaking boxes, you break what?
Vases.
What do those vases look like? What other game in the Resident Evil franchise do they look like they came from?
I don't know.
Village.
Oh, really?
They're white vases with gold around, and it looks exactly.
Remember,
like
I didn't complete Village.
Oh, but so they look like the vases there. From Lady D's castle.
Oh, okay.
Which is interesting because the rumor was the merchants are related, and even the merchant in Village has a line about his, like, you know,
his
family
friend.
Member or something, his friend.
Yeah, yeah, they know each other. They're partners. They
so, like,
they work
it's
together.
Very interesting that. They're laying the groundwork there.
Yeah.
Before we give it a trophy level, which, spoiler alert, it's a platinum. Buy it full price, whatever. Yeah. You know, get it. Do you want a brand new Leon game? Entry with just Leon, not a remake? I also was thinking that. Like, give me a brand new third-person Leon Resident Evil. Let's go.
I'm going to say something really, really, really controversial. He should just be the main character. I love Leon so much. Yeah. I've never identified so strongly with a white, blonde-haired, blue-eyed man in my life than Leon Kennedy. I'm like, this guy just oozes fucking cool. This guy rocks. This guy is my protagonist. Like, he is cool as shit. Midway through, I was like, at the end of it, I'm like, dude, how do you play another game that's not with Leon or Jill?
Yeah.
Like, I honestly don't know how. Because, what is it, Ethan in the first-person versions of the games? He sucks. Ethan Winters, I think, right?
Yeah.
He sucks.
He's not great.
He's not great. He's just a big dummy.
Other than in the little bit in Village, spoiler alert for you, Joe, and everyone else, didn't play any entries with Chris.
Okay.
Like, 5, I know you play as Chris.
Yeah.
I don't have that attachment to him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, 1. I know I need to go back and play 1.
Fun fact, another side tangent that is thirsty in relations. I asked my, you know, I was hanging out with Amy, and we're talking about the RE characters and how I'm in love with Ada. And it's like, you know, it's not weird, nor is it pathetic. But it is. So, and she's like, yeah, she's attractive. I go, how about Leon? She's like, he gives me like this, like, skater boy, like, haircut, not digging it. And then I showed her Chris Redfield.
Oh, which version of Chris?
The new one.
The Village one? The beefy
and
one?
She said things that were too vulgar. But, even for me, I was like, okay, lady, you need to relax. But I'll just say respectfully, he could break her in half, apparently.
Wow. Just like he punched that boulder.
He's a thick daddy.
Uh-huh.
And she likes him. Okay. She's very fond. She is very fond. You know what she asked me after the end of that conversation? She's like, who is he again? I'm like, uh-oh, you're going to look.
Uh-oh.
You're going to search.
Rule 34 is a new member on its site. Uh-oh.
She is a real sicko. I wouldn't be surprised. All right, Kyle, before I have to take this, you'll bring this dog in, and then you get to talk about MLB The Show. Talk about the games.
Yeah, I'll do that. Yeah.
What's the trophy level, bruh?
Oh, we said it. Platinum.
Yeah, it was a spoiler. Yeah, platinum.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. This is one of the best games I've ever played.
Mm.
Like, we've been gushing about it for weeks on this show. You know, I've told y'all, like, Dead Space was my favorite survival horror game of all time. The Dead Space remake is one of the best remakes ever made. I loved it. I will platinum that one. Resident Evil 4's remake is just...
In my eyes, miles ahead of the Dead Space one.
Again,
I'm having so much more fun with this than Dead Space. And Dead Space was good.
It was really good. It's like, not to speak any ill of that game or that team, because it's a phenomenal game.
Yeah. Capcom just knows how to remake their stuff.
God damn.
It's wild.
That said, though, let's make Dead Space 2 remake. Let's do it. You never played Dead Space 2, right?
Nope.
Oh, fuck. You're in for such a treat. All right, let me go get this dog, bring him in, go talk to these kids about some garms.
What does that mean? MLB The Show 23. Y'all have heard me gush about it on the main show for weeks now. It is the best MLB The Show that San Diego has put out in a very long time. What makes it so great is, other than the grinding, I'll say the grinding for team affinity, which, if you're unfamiliar, is every division in baseball gets their own special set of cards, a player per team. And you have to get 150,000 XP in each division. There's six of them to unlock everything and get all the cards. And you need all the cards to unlock the best of the best cards to use in multiplayer in Diamond Dynasty mode, which is also a mode that you don't have to play at all. You can be a franchise offline player. You could just play Road to the Show, which is the career thing. There's Home Run Derbies. There's the retro mode. There's so many other things outside of Diamond Dynasty that you can play, and guess what? They're amazing. They're impeccable. But Diamond Dynasty is the star of the show. And what makes it great is they give you such opportunity to earn everything and not feel like things are gated too much. So like, for example, they have a mode called Battle Royale where you draft your own team like fantasy baseball. And the goal is to go 12-0. Don't lose a game with this team. You go against other real life players. That mode is incredibly hard. I have never, ever, ever come close. I think the best I've come is, I think I won 7 games, which is, I think, as good as I will ever be in that mode. But the thing is, they have a program. Every single thing inside of it have programs where if you do certain things in games, you earn XP towards that program. And Battle Royale has one of those. And those cards are crazy expensive, excuse me, with the in-game currency, the stubs. So instead of, you know, spending a lot of really hard-earned money that you work hard for to get these cards, you can grind out the program. And it's pretty simple to do. Like, win or lose, you'll be able to get a lot of that done and be able to unlock one of those 3 cards in Battle Royale. They make it so accessible and so approachable. It's just amazing. It is amazing. It's a baseball fan's dream. And like I said, Joe just really, really sucks when it comes to baseball stuff. Hi, Joe. Hey, welcome back.
Derek Jeter, he's a biracial angel.
He really is. The show's fantastic. I'm really excited to put in so many more hundreds of hours. I can't believe that my live service game is a baseball game. And I'm not mad at it, honestly. It's a good time. When and if I ever have money again.
Dude, these dogs in this neighborhood, let me tell you, if this thing's blocking out all that and the lawnmower outside, holy crap.
Dude, there's
an argument between these dogs outside.
Oh, we got a shark and jets situation?
Yeah.
Good story. whenever I have money again, I'm thinking about investing into a
baseball team?
Controller.
Oh, really?
Because I have a really bad problem playing this game. When I'm batting, I drop the PCI, which is the cursor.
Oh, okay.
Way too much, and I miss the ball completely, and I pop fly it, even though I'm nailing where the location's going to be. I'm just moving it too far. So what I learned is the edge, you can like customize how fast the movement is on the sticks. And so, like, if I could curve it a little bit to make it so I, my going all the way down isn't all the way down in game, I won't be able to be beat. So like, I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking about it. But yeah, it's an easy platinum for me. Even if you're not a baseball fan, I urge you to give it a shot. Hey, go over to Game Pass and try it there if you want to.
Whoa.
What do you mean? Come on, Joe.
Come on. No, don't go over there. You don't need it. It's not worth it.
It's well worth your time just to see the lovingly.
Don't you know that?
The lovingly recreated like historical figures of the game. And also the Negro League baseball mode is incredible. It's the best thing MLB the Show has ever added. It's I think 9 players: Jackie Robinson, Satchel Paige, Hank Thompson, Rube Foster. There's a couple others that Josh Donaldson, Martin Digo, and there's one more that I'm forgetting, but there's moments of their career all being told by the historian of the Negro League Baseball Museum in Kansas City, and it's just so lovingly recreated, and it has like this really cool comic book art style in the vignettes that you do. And I mentioned on the show, but my favorite is Satchel Paige. He told the story of he was so confident in his abilities that a white player from the opposing team said something incredibly racist.
Oh, really?
To him while he was pitching. And he told his teammates in the field, "All right, everybody come in. Kneel around me." And they just knelt around him, nobody in the field playing defense, as he's pitching to the other team, and he struck out the side.
Goddamn, so
struck cool. out all
that's
three so... three batters. It's so badass, and I love it. Dude, so much.
Just the thing,
and
like...
I never knew that story, and I got to experience it here, and also learned that Satchel Paige pitched until like his late 60s in the major leagues. Like, he's one of the greatest pitchers ever, ever. Yeah. They say it's season 1, so I'm hopefully we get even more players to learn
that's cool.
It's awesome. And each player has their own card which you can use in Diamond Dynasty, and it's incredible. It's awesome.
Dude, going back to Satchel Paige, that is the most boss shit I've ever heard in my life. Like, you got the coach going like, "I bet all you guys just carry around vases and you break them and that's where all your money is." And Satchel's like, "Oh yeah, motherfucker! Everybody infield! Everybody infield! Yeah. Everybody hide your vases! Yep. Get everybody
get a fucking hide your vases!
Get this fucking guy around!" And then just strike him out. Duh, such a fucking ball.
It was awesome. Yeah.
That said, Stein, who is the senior social media manager at Xbox, it looks like all the check marks are going away.
Oh yeah,
and Stein, he's so good at what he does, man. I look at him in just pure jealousy because this man must just think in memes. He just has the Terminator 2 thumbs up with the like symbol in it as it's melted away.
That's
beautiful. Jesus. That said, as well, if you're on Patreon, we don't, and you're not on Discord, I don't know why you wouldn't be. Head on over to the Discord. DM me if you lost your Patreon little color name thing, because Patty the Patreon robot likes to do it every once in a while. So weird. So weird. No explanation.
He likes to try to attempt to throw a coup every once in a while.
Yeah, and that's the reason why AI scares me so much. It's like, dude, like, these things are gonna be self-aware. Like, in 6 months. You kidding me?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. But yeah, that said, make sure you head on over to Discord. Share the Discord out to people as well, because we're going to be trying to grow a PlayStation-centric, of course, community here on Discord. Because we... and I'm not to speak any ill on Elon. I really don't care what this guy has to say about Jack All, but it seems like he's running this company. It's kind of like a rocket he attempted to shoot out into space. It's blowing up right in front of our eyes. It's disassembling unexpectedly right before our very eyes. Uh-huh. What a fucking imbecile. That being said, that's how I feel about him. Because, like, he's taking Twitter. Everybody's suffering from it in terms of engagement and just getting...
What a... What a terrible businessman that man is.
So, I say this with any type of respect I have left. Usually, when we put out the social links, this is, I'm just letting y'all know how broken things are. We get about 50 clicks, right? Not a lot. We get about, like, you know, in our first day of downloads, we get around like 2K downloads. But put it into perspective. So Twitter wasn't that important to begin with if we're just getting 50 clicks. But that's 50 people checking us out for possibly the first time. Now, just doing the quick math here, 19.
Hey.
And that's on average. That's actually when we're doing good. So it's really rough there out here for creators. It's getting rougher and rougher, and I'm seeing people looking at options of where they can take their communities, where the engagement is. So I see a lot pointing towards Instagram, which I don't know. I like Discord because I feel like it is, you know, it's way more communal, and that's what I really dig out of it. But it really does seem like the writing's on the wall, and I don't know, again, taking how I feel about the man out of it, I really don't know how much longer this platform has.
Hey, how about that Horizon Burning
Source? Oh, right, sorry.
I know you wanted to get more in depth, not story-wise, we're not going to spoil it still, because it just came out.
I have beef.
But just on the gameplay.
Yeah, I have, I'm a little upset, and I'm a little angry.
I know, you keep texting me like, hey, beat it as soon as you can, because it's being spoiled everywhere.
And first off, you should.
Okay.
Because there's even the people that are trying to talk about it via code.
Yeah, are right out.
Like, you know what they're at least alluding to. Mm. So, like, you know, it is what it is. The internet really sucks.
But, really does.
You know, people be bigots out there, and you just gotta block and mute them. That being said, though, I have a beef with Ains, not because of anything he said about any of these characters in this game, or is it? No, so he's just like, I beat the DLC.
Okay.
And he's like, okay, like in a day. It's a quick DLC. I wanted to make sure I got it. I could put review on that title, and it's a review, you know?
Sure, yeah.
And Ains just said something along the lines of Season Gaming Zone. He goes, Joe, did you even take a break? Did you sleep? He's like, you just beat it? Like, something along those lines. And I go, Ainsley Bowden of the Season Gaming, the man who has like 15 interns. Every time I'm texting him midday, he's like, yeah, I'm playing on a fucking Dead Island 2 right now. It's really, I'm like, it's 2:00 in the afternoon. Ains, why aren't you working? And like his job, he's like talking to robots all day.
Yeah.
Like, it seems pretty important. It seems like, you know, he's part of the Illuminati. I don't want to say he is, but all sides point to yes. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, who do you think you are? Not me. That's who. Every time. I'm like, when do you actually work? Because it seems like, oh, I'm playing Halo. Ains, it's 11:30. I'm playing ranked. Why? You know? The audacity of this bitch is all I'm saying.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But yes, the one question I keep on getting is like, why is this a PS5 thing and not on PS4? And we talked a little bit about it on the show, so I don't want to... I want to say that there are two underwater sections that there are things shooting at you that, like, you're seeing it come at you and then it shoots in the water itself. And when that does that, the physics of that game automatically changes it. So you're diving in and out, and those things are coming at you, and they're just, you're seeing like particles explode and all that stuff. It's really cool when it happens. And so there are scenes like that that are really impressive, and that's probably why it's a PS5 exclusive. And it really is like a hint at what's to come. And I hope that it's soon. Because I don't want another Horizon game and it's like PS5/PS6. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because there's a lot that, like, you already got a great foundation. I think the combat's great. Now I just think you need to refine the little things like the skill trees and some of the melee combat. I still think is garbage.
Sure.
That said, I've been playing Horizon Forbidden West, and as this video goes live, I have one or two trophies left, so it's platinumed by the time this airs.
Sweet.
The world is amazing.
It really is.
And I really hope that in Horizon 3, we get more of that sci-fi rather than the sci-fi we got. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. There are two stories that are often told in Horizon.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
That it's like the tribal stuff and then the machine portion, we'll just say. Right? And the machine portion.
The Ted Farrow stuff.
Yeah. And I actually think that stuff would serve better as the background to what is happening in the tribe portion of the stuff. Because I love how like fantasy this is, but it's still in the world. Like, it's such a like Square Enix joint, like in terms of feel of art style and world and character, but it still retains like this is a Sony PlayStation, you know, thing. If that makes any sense, like I can see the inspiration to classic Square stuff in here, but it's all fantastical. But it's those portions that I actually think are the strongest portions of Horizon, and I want to see them dive deeper into Aloy's personality more than like, oh, she's a little weird and people, it's hard for him to warm up to people. Like that
is the one downfall of Forbidden West for me is I was more into all the other side characters more than Aloy. So love Aloy, but she was very one note for a lot of that game.
Yeah, and I want to see her do something more than, like, again, like, be determined to do the one mission. Because the reason why I love Seika so much is she has all the attributes of Aloy, but she's also, there's so much personality beaming off of her and so much also internal strife that is relatable that, like, you can't help but love this character and want to see her go out on adventures. And like not to say I'd rather be playing with her than Aloy, but like I would love to see her in a spinoff. I would love to see a buddy cop game between the two, because to me, I think Horizon Forbidden West, where I think it was a bit of a down for me, was in the side characters. I don't think you got enough of them, and I don't think their stories were sufficient enough. I think Catalo is awesome, but I wanted to see more of him in his struggle. Okay. If it was more like Mass Effect 2, where it's like, let's get the gang back together and let's go out and into these cauldrons and work as a team, like that's what I would want. So like, I love Horizon Forbidden West. Don't get me wrong, it's amazing. I just have those little issues story wise or character wise that I think Seika clears up a lot, and I hope they do more of it because the Seika arc very much reminds me of BioWare. And I was just like, you know what? This is what I want from them to see. Like, I would like to maybe build an antagonistic relationship with, like, Vol, right? Or, like, or maybe, you know, a friendly relationship with Katala. You know, like, have those different type of interactions with them would be so cool, because now you're not just building Aloy, but you're building the characteristics of their friendships.
I think outside of the, you know, make them enemy or more friends, but the basis, I think, of that Normandy Mass Effect 2 thing is in Forbidden West, in the base where your pals are all in their sections of the base. You can go, they literally, each of them have a loyalty mission for you to do in the base game. So it's there.
But
if they can take that one next step, I'm kind of with you. It's going to be, there will be no other game that will take away from that kind of conversation if they make that step whenever the third one releases.
Yeah. So that I love this world. I want to see more of it. I love this game. It's just so damn special, and I think right after this, I will get the final plats for Horizon Call of the Mountain as well, and I would be, I'm then 100%, I got my 58 platinums and all that jazz, so.
Sweet.
Ooh-wee, Horizon is a game that exists, and I love it so very gosh dang much. Man.
Forbidden West platinum on the trophy level?
Oh, it's a platinum.
Yeah. Easy, right? Burning Easy. Shores, same?
Burning Shores, so the one downside with Burning Shores is, again, there's not much side content. I would say that this is more of a story-focused DLC, but for $20, it is well worth it. Should you wait for it on sale or whatever? No. Buy it at 20. It's worth the $20 investment. And it also gears you up fairly well for a new game plus down the line as well. So
sweet.
Go get this game. It's good.
Awesome. Well, that's been The Road to Greatness. Great games all around.
Yeah.
We'll catch you next month for Jedi.
Yeah.
And probably Zelda.
Zelda,
right? Ooh. It's a pretty big game.
It's pretty big. Maybe that could be the month where we let audience decide what they want.
Next month?
Yeah, next month.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, maybe, right? Yeah. Got Jedi.
I was about to say.
At least like an impression of maybe, because like Redfall I'm excited for.
Yeah.
Zelda I'm excited for. Those are two games we could talk about. I know there's also oh my goodness. The enhanced game. It's on PlayStation.
Humanity.
So, yeah, no, there is actually a lot of stuff we could talk about. And then June is just like, forget it.
Yeah.
It's going to be nuts. It's going to be absolutely bonkers. So,
thank you all so much for your support. We love you so very, very much. So, we'll catch you on the next one. So, bye. Love you. I forgot the ending. It'll change every time. It's fine.
Bye.